Now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, if you saw the title for the tonight and you decided to come tonight because of that title, I want to talk, I want to kind of set the expectation a little bit. I don't have an extensive knowledge of medically of autoimmune diseases. I know they're prevalent today. It seems like I have a whole web of people that have been touched in some way by diabetes or celiac or Crohn's disease or rheumatoid arthritis or whatever. Like, there's all these different things, and one of the things that seems common with them is this this mystery about it. In the sense, and what I mean by that is, it's not like you have an infection, like a foreign agent that has kind of found its way into your body, and your body is trying to fight it off or trying to figure it out, and you can kind of focus on, I have this disease that is going to get better, in some case, or there's an antibiotic or a treatment for it. And of course there are treatments for all of these things, but the problem from friends of mine who have had them, it seems to be more like this is a realization that this is an ongoing reality going forward in my life. It's not just something that I'm suffering from that I hope to move past, but it's an acceptance of this is now a part of me. And that can be hard. And it can be discouraging. And it can be kind of confusing, I think, at times to wonder, well, where is God in all of that? And I want to talk mainly about that, because that's actually what I'm able to talk about. Not so much how to treat your autoimmune disease or disorder. Talk to your doctor on that, but your doctor might not be particularly, I mean, he might be, and that'd be awesome. I can speak to that. The psalm that we read shows there's two different ways to view every illness or everything that affects us. There's really two different ways to view it. You're either going to view it through the lens of the illness without God, and by that, what they mean is that you're going to view it maybe how it looks on the surface, just all of the kind of the bare facts themselves. That this is what this is, and don't try to make it more. And the people that do that, they says that these people come alongside and abandon the psalmist. He says, when they come see me, they utter empty words, words that don't have any power, words that don't have any hope. They're empty words, while their hearts gather mischief. When they go out, they tell it abroad. All who hate me whisper together about me. They imagine the worst for me. They think that a deadly thing is fastened on me, and that I will not rise again from where I lie. This is a permanent reality in your life. It's set. It's done. And it's not getting better. In that sense, I mean, viewing that in that way becomes a very, there's no God in that picture. And the other way to view it that the psalmist has is what he does is he's viewing not his sickness, but he's viewing God and who God is. He says, happy are those who consider the poor. The Lord delivers them in their trouble. The Lord protects them and keeps them alive. They are called happy in the land. You do not give them up to the will of their enemies. Those who oppress this person are saying, you're on your sick bed. You're sick bed. You're never getting up from it. And he says, the Lord sustains them on their sickbed. In their illness, you heal all their infirmities. As for me, I said, O Lord, be gracious to me. Heal me, for I have sinned against you. My enemies wonder in malice when I will die, and my name will perish. But you, O Lord, be gracious to me and raise me up. And here's what I want to talk about briefly. You know, one of the main issues that the Bible is trying to address is that human beings, one of the main problems with human beings is that we are, Martin Luther put it in a Latin phrase, in curvatus in se. Curvatus in se. What he means is curved inward on ourselves. He envisioned a human being as mainly curved inward so that all that we can see is ourselves. Our vision, everything we look to is to ourselves for our good, for our hope, for blessing, for salvation, for our righteousness. We look to ourselves. This is the main problem with human beings. We cannot possibly love our neighbor because we can't see them. Because we're just looking at ourselves the whole time. It's like we're walking around with this mirror on ourselves, just constantly looking at ourselves. And when we're doing that, there really is no hope there. Because if all we can see is ourselves, then all we're going to see is continually either how good we are, and we're going to feel more and more confident in ourselves, and we're lying most of the time, or we're going to see how bad we are, and we're going to feel more and more despair. You know, there's no way to move forward there. And I think at the root of illness, things like illness and disorders and diseases, what they have the potential to do is to begin to wake us up to, I have to see something, outside of myself. Especially something like an autoimmune disorder, because the entire problem is I'm fighting, you know, it's my own body that's fighting itself. What I mean by that is that the solution has to be external to you, because the problem is internal. The problem is with ourselves. And I think in that sense, autoimmune diseases and disorders become this picture of what human suffering actually looks like. The main problem that you and I have is actually with ourselves, that we are caught up in ourselves, and we cannot possibly look to anything else. So what God does is he things come into our lives that begin to bring us to a sense of, I am going to need something beyond me. Because if it's just me that I'm counting on for my hope, I have none. If it's just me I'm counting on for my health, I have none. If it's just me I'm counting on for my righteousness, I have none. And what Martin Luther said is that when the person is finally able to begin to look elsewhere, he looks and he sees Christ. And that when he's able to look and see Christ, and suddenly he's able to straighten up, he's able to see something outside of himself that is acting for his good. And this is where I think God is bringing all of us. I don't think that. I know that. That God is actually everything in your life. God is moving in such a way that you would more and more look, begin to kind of tilt your back and your neck and your head up, instead of looking at yourself, to look and behold something other than yourself, something external to yourself, Christ acting for you. Christ is your hope. Christ is your healing. He's right there. It's not like you have to find it inside, dig down really deep, and then you can find this kind of inner light that we like to talk about in many circles these days, where if you dig deep enough, you're going to find something really good and just keep digging. He's saying, no, stop digging and look up and see that everything is there for you. It's not like you have to look up and then find a little kernel and nugget of light there and pursue that. No. Look up and see that God is standing there saying, I've given it all. It's yours right now for free. It's yours. Your healing is yours. Your hope is yours. It's right here in front of you. It's present with you in his word to you. It's present with you in Christ crucified for your sins. And the beauty of this, what Paul gets at in his in 2 Corinthians, is that he says, therefore I will boast all the more gladly in my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities, and add to that anything that you want. Disease, death, despair, debt, whatever. I'm content. He's not saying those are good. He's not saying that I'm glad they're happening. He's saying I'm content with those because as I realize more and more how weak I am, my vision goes more and more to something else that can be strong. And that's what he says, for when I am weak, I am strong. Because earlier he says, it's in that word when he says, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. For my power, Jesus' power is made perfect in your weakness. And that what Paul is saying is that as we get in touch with our weakness and our frailty, then suddenly we also at the same time get in touch with God's incredible strength and power. Some of the worst times of my life, times that I would not want to go back and do again, and hope never to have to. At the same time, I can't get past the, and maybe some of you have had this experience where I look at events that have happened to me that I would say, I really honestly hope this never happens again. And yet at the same time, there was a sweetness to it because in the midst of it, Christ had never been more present and never been more powerful. And it was equal to my need of him. It wasn't like all of a sudden he showed up. It was finally in that moment I realized I really need him more than I thought I did. And maybe for you, and you're in the midst of whatever it is that's going on, and maybe it's a diagnosis that has been a stamp of death over your life. Maybe for 20 years you've had a diagnosis that has just affected all of your joy, all of your hope, all of your vitality. And it's not even so much the actual effects of the illness. It's more just the whatever it is, it's had this grip on you. Where suddenly you're just not the same person. And maybe it's right there that Christ has brought you to the point of saying, well, maybe all of this is pointing me towards the fact that I really need him. And I need him more than I've ever needed him in my life. And is he going to be there for me? And there's that doubt. There's that question. And that is what you need to pray about. That is the thing that you have to bring to God and say, God, heal this first. But I mean, we'll get to whatever the diagnosis is. But the first thing that I need you to heal is this fear that you're not going to be with me in the midst of it. This fear that maybe this diagnosis is a sign that you don't actually even love me. Maybe it's you paying me back for something I did 15, 20 years ago, 2 months ago, something my kids did whatever. We do all sorts of things like that mentally. So I don't know, tonight, maybe some of you just need to bring that before the Lord and say, God, before I ever address the fact that we're going to need to pray about whatever this diagnosis is, I'm going to need to address the first thing, which is, are you actually for me? Are you actually with me? And I promise you, just as Eva was saying, you pray that tonight and he will show up. I promise you, he'll show up. And he'll show up in a way that you will leave here trusting him more than you did when you walked in. Maybe a little bit more, but a little bit is enough. Trusting that he is for you and that he loves you and he will never let you go. Amen.